Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. We're here for an hour to answer your questions, 888-302-3684. Plus, we got a lot to talk about this week. There's lots in the news. So while you start dialing, let me share this with you. I was very happy to see a huge response to an article that I wrote entitled "Frontline Gets It Wrong About Supplements." Some of you may have been so unfortunate as to see a Frontline special on PBS. This was last week, actually the week before last, January 19th. They did a, quote, investigative report on supplements that was a real hit piece. And so I decided to push back. I invited Dr. Daniel Fabricant on one of our podcasts. He's head of the Natural Products Association. And we interviewed him this Monday for Intelligent Medicine. And you can check out the podcast at drhoffman.com. It's a great podcast because at least we gave him a chance to talk. They did not give him a chance to rebut some of their ridiculous assertions on the PBS Frontline special. And, you know, so basically the Frontline producers want supplements to be regulated to like drugs. So they mustered a group of so-called experts to attest to the fact that supplements aren't regulated, which they are. That's a big canard. And so we push back with some of the facts about the supplement industry in the podcast and in the article that I encourage you to read at drhoffman.com, Frontline Gets It Wrong About Supplements. And I was particularly gratified when I received this little email from a guy who literally I used to play with when I was a kid. We were in elementary school together, and we've maintained our friendship. I'm on the East Coast. He's on the West Coast where I grew up. And this touched me very much. Ron, thanks for sending this well-written rebuttal, because he receives our newsletter, so we got it in the mail. Thanks for sending this well-written rebuttal to the Frontline story that, quite frankly, got me upset. I've had a lot of trust in you and your recommendations of supplements for many years now, and I believe I've benefited tremendously. For context, this guy is about, I would guess, 64 or 65. Went to school with him. I feel great. I get a good cardio workout 7 days a week, am on no prescription meds. Every annual physical I get produces high praise from the doc for being so healthy. They always tell me to keep doing whatever I've been doing, as it seems to work so damn well for me. Thanks, buddy, for all the great care you have provided all this time. Signed, Steve. And a shout-out to Steve. I hope you're listening. If not, we'll send you an air check of this little segment, because you've been a good buddy to me over many years, and I'm very gratified that you find the information that we send out germane to your life. And a lot of listeners, I think, I mean, they're, once PBS gets out there with their great credibility and attacks supplements, a lot of people very consternated that something that they have believed in for so long and have staked their health on has been so violently assailed by what I guess until now seems like a very credible news organization. Clearly, a lot of bias and misrepresentation at work in that Frontline special. All right, we're going to take your calls now. 888-302-3684 is our number. Let's talk to David in Rockland County, New York. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I have kind of two questions for you. Thursday, yep, in my doctor's office, my blood pressure was 130 over 80, which is probably okay for me.
Yeah, that's
and,
not too bad.
And I'm on 40 milligrams of Benicar per day for the last 3 years, more or less.
Blood pressure meter,
Yeah. And today, maybe I didn't feel right, and I took my blood pressure a couple times in both arms. It was like 179 over 80, 156 over 80, and I was just nervous about it. And I was thinking, should I take a blood pressure pill? I was going to go to the gym today, and I said, I'm going to stay home.
Well, something. This is everything is the same with you. You're taking the same medication,
yes,
and all of a sudden you notice that your blood pressure is spiking. All things
yes.
being equal, right? And
yes.
you haven't had a change in diet. You haven't had, any sickness, anything going on, or an inordinately stressful time of life for you. Nothing along those lines, right?
I don't know if David? That would have done it that much.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay.
So this is a blood pressure device that you use consistently at home? Or
yeah.
is this a new device? Okay, because sometimes these devices can be inaccurate, and you have to calibrate them at your doctor's office. Yeah, look, I mean, I would say that this might be a source of concern. Although, you know, I think what would be reasonable is for you to have a light workout and then recheck your blood pressure and just make sure that this isn't like a fluke, because the blood pressure is a little high, and if it were to be consistently high like this, then maybe you need an adjustment in your medication. Or maybe a more aggressive lifestyle modification. Just, you know, for the sake of argument, what's your height and weight?
Yeah, well, I shrunk. I'm about 5'9", 191 pounds. I lost weight.
Well, bingo. Bingo. Well, you're 5'9", and 190 pounds, you're carrying extra weight. And what is your pant size?
38.
Well, bingo.
I've been playing tennis four times a week, but okay.
Well, I know that, but you're carrying extra weight around the midsection. It's a major risk factor for elevated blood pressure. So, this is probably an imperative for you to be a little more careful about diet and to get you to lose weight. Now, yeah, you play tennis, and, you know, I was going to do a story this hour, and we may get around to it, about the relative impact of diet versus the impact of exercise on weight. And most studies now suggest that exercise is an imperfect way to optimize your weight. It's good. It's great to condition yourself. And yeah, you can be a little heavier and you can be good physical condition. It's better than being heavy and in poor physical condition. But in terms of achieving weight loss, you got to do the hard work with the diet. And for you, likely, I mean, I'm not sure because I don't know your blood tests or your history, a lower carbohydrate diet is going to be helpful. So what do you have for breakfast?
Well, usually I have yogurt with some fresh fruit. That's what
is
I've
it plain yogurt?
Plain yogurt sometimes.
Is it low-fat yogurt?
Yeah, it's either 0% or 2% usually.
Well, that's a mistake right there, because the low-fat yogurt yields more in terms of carbohydrates, less in satiety. And so basically what you're having is a lot of carbs for breakfast. You may think, well, this is healthier than eating, a Danish for breakfast, but you're basically eating a lot of carbs when you put the fruit in the low calorie or zero calorie yogurt, and that will spike your insulin, which will put fat around your midsection and cause your blood pressure to go up. So, you know, we started out, the question is, do you need more medication? I think you should stay on the medication, but this is kind of a clarion call for you to look at your diet and improve that so that you optimize your weight, and then your blood pressure will come down. I mean, you may not be able to get off meds.
Right.
But, hey, this is a good news situation, David, because what scares me the most is when I see patients come into the office and they're real thin and they have high blood pressure. And then I go, well, you can't do anything about weight for their blood pressure. There must be another cause. But when you're carrying, 15, 20 extra pounds in your frame and you lose that, it's very likely that you get off the blood pressure medication. So there's the imperative for you. And, I don't want to do a total diet analysis for you, because breakfast is sometimes a good sort of litmus test for what people eat during the day. But you need to cut the carbs. And you go on a low-carb diet, you cut the grains, reduce your intake of sugary foods, juices, even limiting your fruit intake, and you might shed the pounds that are necessary to get yourself off the blood pressure medication. Give it a shot. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We invite your calls during this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic aged garlic extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic aged garlic extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic aged garlic extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. You can call us at 888-302-3684. We have several calls on the line. And if you can't call us today, it's inconvenient. If you're in your car, you just don't feel like calling, don't worry about it, because you can email us your question to radioprogram. That's one word, radioprogram@AOL.com, and we will use your question as fodder for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer listener questions. And if you listen to our podcasts, eventually, it may take a week or two for us to catch up. We will answer your question on our weekly podcast. All right. You know, during the break, our producer, Al, asked me about what is a healthy breakfast? What constitutes a healthy breakfast? Because I'm knocking the breakfast that this caller had as being too high in carbohydrates. And over the past, I guess it's now 35 days, I've been doing a little science fair project on myself. I'm following the Whole30 diet, which is a very interesting diet. It is it's a paleo diet that consists of no cereal grains, no grains, not even brown rice, quinoa, amaranth, also no legumes, not even peanuts. So I'm missing my peanut butter. No lentils, no beans, no sugar whatsoever, no alcohol, no dairy. So what am I eating for breakfast? Well, here's an example of a breakfast that's very satisfying, because I'm about 4.5 hours into finishing my breakfast, and here I am broadcasting and with hopefully full mental capacity, focus, and an absence of hunger. I made an omelet with two eggs, and then I filled it with some leftover chicken. I had a chicken in the refrigerator that I had only partially eaten. So I took some white meat from the chicken, put it in the omelet, and then added some avocado slices, and then topped that off with chipotle salsa. And it made a very, very satisfying low-carb breakfast, high in protein, relatively high in fat, but fat is necessary for satiety when you're on a lower-carb diet. And I'm going to be writing and blogging. I already wrote an article about my initial impressions of the Whole30 diet. And so if you subscribe to our newsletter, look for a couple of articles coming up on my experience with the Whole30 diet and how I rate that diet, whether it's the right diet for you to try to achieve weight loss, mental clarity, relief from fatigue, or any of a number of medical conditions that could respond to a paleo-type diet. It's been an interesting experiment for me, and I'll share my impressions with you in newsletters to come. All right, let's talk to Brian in Appleton, Wisconsin. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah.
So what's your question?
I got some questions about ProTime and blood thinners that I'm having, and I'm having some problems or questions with. I currently take a blood thinner, 7.5 milligrams of warfarin.
Yeah, warfarin or Coumadin is the most popular blood thinner. Yep.
Yeah, and I used to weigh 300 pounds, and I've now since taken 110 pounds off.
Excellent. Share with us how you did
that. I'm down to about 191 pounds now. So I'm 6'3", so I feel I'm pretty okay with my weight.
Well, congratulations. How did you manage to do that? Just share with us briefly how you achieved that very, very
remarkable weight loss. I went on a 1,500-calorie diet a day, and I stuck to my 1,500 calories, and I cut out sugars. I cut out carbohydrates, breads, things like that.
There you go.
Ate only vegetables that I'm allowed because I'm on the Coumadin. I can't eat anything green. I can't have citrus because that messes with my Coumadin or my INR levels every week.
Hang tight there. First of all, I want to commend you on your diet, your weight loss. It's a very, very remarkable accomplishment. Kudos to you. But I just revisit this issue continually, is that there's this dread by nutritionists of telling patients to avoid green leafy vegetables and certain fruits because they have some vitamin K in them. And that is not entirely necessary. In fact, you should be consuming some, not, eight stalks of broccoli one day and none the other, consistent amounts. And then you adjust your Coumadin dosage or your warfarin dosage to accommodate the little bit of vitamin K that you're getting in your diet. Because vitamin K is a very, very valuable nutrient. And there's so many anti-cancer nutrients in greens and in certain fruits that you don't want to really avoid them. That's parenthetical. That's not on the topic of your question, but I just want to share that. So go ahead.
My question is, I've lost 110 pounds, and I'm having problems regulating my INR, my protime.
Right.
It's actually gone up or gone down. So I'm, instead of being therapeutic between 2 and 3, I can't seem to get on a 7.5 milligram dose. I can't get out of a 1.8 range.
Right.
Now,
so
that would mean I'd have to go up in Coumadin to a 10,
right. Right.
10 milligrams a day. And
100%.
I thought with losing like 110 pounds, that would have an effect on my amount of Coumadin that I would need every day.
Yeah, so let me tell you how that works. Is your body is pretty much the same in terms of the systemic circulation and the effect of Coumadin on your INR, with or without the weight. It just turns out that way. So your framework, your circulatory system is still the same circulatory system that you had when you all that fat sort of plastered onto your body. So you may have to go up to a slightly higher dose. Don't be fearful that a higher dose. You can be monitored very carefully, and your INR will be satisfactory to avoid any kind of blood clot. All right? Thanks very much for your call. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And I want to remind you that if you're desirous of supplements, you want information about some of the things we talk about here on Intelligent Medicine, just go to drhoffman.com, click on the store, and thereby you can fulfill your supplement needs. And we stock only the highest quality supplements at the very best prices. But in addition, you can assure the continuity of all that great content that you get for free at drhoffman.com. So you will benefit both in terms of supplement quality as well as intelligent medicine information. Check out drhoffman.com. Click on the store for your supplement needs. Let's talk to Robert in Queens, New York.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Hoffman. My mother is 88 years old. She has dementia. So about a couple of months ago, I took her to a neurologist, and he prescribed a drug called quetiapine fumarate, 25 milligrams. She takes it.
That's also known as, it's more commonly known as Seroquel. Seroquel.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
It's supposed to help with, some studies in the early 2000s suggested that it was a good medication for Alzheimer's patients who have what's called sundowning. They have like a real disruption of their sleep-wake cycle. So they're sleeping all day, and then at night they're up and they're agitated. And so Seroquel was thought to be a good alternative for them, according to some studies. So what's the deal with that? How does that work in for her?
Well, I just want to know, is any side effects of it? Does it give hallucinations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Seroquel is an antipsychotic medication that's often prescribed to dementia patients for agitation. But, you know, recently there have been some warnings that have come out about this category of medications, which are extremely powerful. You know, they're antipsychotic medications. They're used in patients with schizophrenia. And when you use them on the feeble elderly, they can sort of knock them out and sedate them. But also they can dramatically increase the risk of death in patients who take them. And there are lots of side effects, gastrointestinal problems, constipation, abdominal pain, dizziness, drowsiness, rigidity, tremor. And so hallucinations could be part of that picture because, you know, Alzheimer's patients have different brains and they may not respond the way that, quote, normal or younger patients respond to medications. So, you know, I would go right back to the neurologist and say, hey, you know, you think maybe this could be a problem? And, you know, apropos of that, there are natural ways to facilitate sleep in Alzheimer's patients. Like, patients really benefit from melatonin, I found. I really prefer a light touch when it comes to medication with elderly demented patients because most of those medications just knock them out. You know, they're like chemical straitjackets. And, yeah, they may be more manageable, but it's going to hasten their death and also sometimes create really unacceptable side effects. So, you know, certain supplements are beneficial for Alzheimer's. I don't want to get into a whole litany of supplements that are good for the brain. You know, I'm not sure that this medication is obviously right for your mom. It's creating some problems.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Let's talk to Carol. Carol's out in New Jersey. Welcome, Carol. How you doing?
I was diagnosed with irregular heartbeat. I've had it for many years, 15 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not AFib. The sinus rhythm was normal. Of late, I started to experience a very rapid heartbeat. Don't know what brings it on. It comes on quickly and it leaves quickly, although at one point it was 130 beats
right.
a minute. And it
So you don't have atrial fibrillation, you don't have an irregular heartbeat, you just have a fast heartbeat, which could be called tachycardia or PAT, paroxysmal atrial tachycardia, which is pretty common, but it's not dangerous. Usually, like atrial fibrillation can cause a blood clot to flip into the brain and cause a stroke. But your type of tachycardia, a little less dangerous, but still, you're bothersome, obviously, right?
Yes, because I've started to experience the shortness of breath.
Sure. Okay. Well, you know, with any kind of change in the pattern of your heartbeat, you know, you probably should go to the doctor and get a Holter monitor because, for all we know, this could represent the onset of atrial fibrillation. I mean, you say it's not, but if it's a change in the pattern, it may be atrial fibrillation. Although the shortness of breath could be simply associated with, you know, the pressure, anxiety that the heart rate engenders. It may be just subjective shortness of breath and not the result of an actual decline in your heart output. Now, you know, generally, if the heart goes fast, you know, you're ultimately less efficient at pumping the blood. You may experience shortness of breath. So, go ahead.
And they said, and I also had the echocardiogram, they said my heart is fantastic.
Great, okay.
With my heart.
That's good news. That's good news. So what you're asking what you can do for this?
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, go ahead.
They prescribed cortisone.
Yeah, cortisone.
Yesterday, and mm-hmm. I did not have a good result from it, and I don't want to take it.
What happened with it?
I had nausea. I felt very weak. I felt faint.
Okay.
And just in general, I just felt miserable, and
yeah.
I don't want to distract.
Just for the record, did you try Toprol or a beta blocker medication? Any of those medications? No. That may be an alternative that would slow your heart rate without the same side effects. Although, let's talk, you know, natural approaches to this. Magnesium taurate, pretty effective for tachycardia, but you need to take fairly big doses. A lot of people assume that when you take a supplement, one twice daily is the right amount, and if it doesn't work, it's not going to work. But with magnesium taurate, you may need to take 4, 6, or 8 a day. Because not that much magnesium in magnesium taurate. You can safely take more. Both magnesium and taurine have a regulatory effect on heart rate. You might also just take higher doses of fish oil. Fish oil itself has a regulatory effect on the heart rate and can be helpful for some patients. Again, you have to take fairly high doses, not one pill a day, but maybe 4 or 6. Also, you got to look at, you know, what's going on in your lifestyle that may cause you to have tachycardia. Sometimes ups and downs of blood sugar, episodes of hypoglycemia can trigger heart problems. You know, I presume you're not a big caffeine consumer. Probably figure that out already. I find that hypoglycemia, unstable blood sugar, can be a real trigger of tachycardia. And then, you know, other things like, you know, anxiety, how you deal with stress, that need to be evaluated, and maybe there's a way that you can modify your reaction to certain external circumstances. I mean, it's tough to do that past a certain age, but you know, when faced with a challenging medical problem, sometimes people alter their whole approach, begin relaxation processes, meditation, yoga, things like that have a regulatory effect on your out-of-control heart rate. So those are some things to contemplate. Give it a shot.
Okay.
Call us back and let us know how it works for you. All right. Let's talk now. I want to share this first with people because very commonly people are unnecessarily prescribed a category of antibiotics that I really think are dangerous. These are the fluoroquinolones. The most popular brands are Cipro and Levaquin. And they're just prescribed willy-nilly. You got a urinary tract infection, you get Cipro, you got some kind of lung infection, they give you Levaquin. And yeah, these are potent drugs that can knock out infections, especially in this era when there's a lot of antibiotic resistance. Doctors love to use fluoroquinolones, but fluoroquinolones have some pretty serious side effects in a certain percentage of the population. I've seen some patients who are utterly devastated after taking even a relatively short course of fluoroquinolones. It's called FQ syndrome. I don't want to go into it, but you can look it up. It's a devastating, debilitating neurological syndrome that occurs rarely, but can occur with fluoroquinolone use. All right, we already know that fluoroquinolones increase your risk of Achilles tendon rupture. Whoa, what's up with that? Well, it turns out some people are genetically prone to Achilles tendon rupture. And those people, if they work out or even if they just walk, step down off a sidewalk, crossing the street, may feel a horrendous pain in their Achilles heel and like a lightning bolt of pain. And their tendon is ruptured. This is a horrible injury that can hobble you for months. Takes a long time to heal, and is known to be associated with fluoroquinolone use. Now, there's new information that patients who've recently taken fluoroquinolones are twice as likely to experience aortic aneurysm. Now, why does that make sense? Well, think about it. The Achilles tendon is a place where there's a lot of collagen in the body, and it's subject to a lot of stress. The aorta also, that's the main big highway for blood down the center of your body, goes down to your legs or up to your brain. The aorta is also lined with collagen, and perhaps some people are genetically predisposed to collagen problems, but for them, the fluoroquinolones tip the balance towards an aortic aneurysm. An aortic aneurysm is a dangerous outpocketing of the aorta. It balloons out like a leak on the inner tube of a tire. And as it expands, the chances increase that it may rupture, and that can be utterly devastating. A relatively small percentage of people are saved from death if they have an aortic aneurysm rupture out of the hospital. It's absolutely devastating medical emergency, and sometimes they can be taken to hospital and can be repaired in time for them to be saved. But they looked at 1.7 million patients aged 65 years and older, and they found that within 30 days of finishing a course of treatment, patients who received fluoroquinolone were 2.2 times more likely to experience aortic aneurysms than other patients. Now, this should really give us pause about prescribing these dangerous medications. I mean, there are some instances where, hey, you know, you're so sick, there's no other alternative, okay, give it a shot. But they are prescribed willy-nilly. And, oh, by the way, during the anthrax scare around the time of 9/11, people were stockpiling Cipro because it's the main antidote against anthrax. We thought we were going to be subject to biological warfare in the wake of 9/11. And people were taking this and keeping it in their medicine cabinet. And then at the first indication of a sore throat or cold, they were taking Cipro. Not a good idea. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We invite you to call us on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you this hour. And we've got Vera calling us from Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, how are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
Okay.
I want to ask a question. I listen to you a lot.
Excellent. Thank you.
And as a matter of fact, I wanted to become your patient, but when I called, they told me an exorbitant price, and I couldn't afford it at the time.
Okay.
No.
I'm sorry to hear that. it's not covered by insurance. What's your question?
I have had a malignant polyp on my colon, and I had it removed in 1999.
Okay, that's a way back.
And I had no chemo, no radiation or anything. I was sent home. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I recently went to a doctor for checkup.
Right.
And she took my, I'm 83 years old first, I should tell you that.
Okay.
And she took my blood and she said the CEA was high and she wants me to see another doctor.
A gastroenterologist, probably to see if you have colon cancer. So do you know how high your CEA was by any chance? Do you know the number?
It's 3 point something.
3 point something. No, that's not particularly high. If that's indeed, that's actually not high. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's happening here. So here's the deal. What are we talking about? CEA is a blood test that is somewhat reliable for detecting certain cancers, in particular colon cancer. It also could be raised in stomach cancer, pancreatic cancer, lung cancer, breast cancer, certain thyroid cancers, and even in certain non-cancerous conditions like ulcerative colitis or pancreatitis, cirrhosis, Crohn's disease. And it's also elevated perplexingly in smokers, even if they don't have cancer. So when you have an elevated CEA, it doesn't mean you have cancer. It could be a false positive. If it's very high after you've had a cancer removed, a colon cancer removed, it's pretty likely that you have a recurrence. So it's kind of used as a way of determining whether your cancer has come back. Now, you said something curious that I don't really understand. You said you had a malignant polyp removed in 1999. What, now, polyps generally are benign, but you say it's malignant. So was it cancer or was it not cancer? Because polyps could be precancerous, but not necessarily cancerous. You see what I'm saying here? Did you have cancer or did you not have cancer?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not a happy position to be in as a medical consumer, that you don't even know what the situation was when you had something removed. So you should get that clarified. So here's the other thing, is that at 83, you sound like a vigorous 83-year-old, and if indeed you have the possibility that cancer has recurred, you might be saved if the small area of cancer in your colon is removed. So I would suggest, and this would be covered by insurance, you have to come and see me to have a conversation about this, go see a gastroenterologist, get properly tested. You probably need a colonoscopy. See if cancer is present. And if cancer is present, I mean, I've got an elderly relative. She's 97. She had colon cancer well into her 80s. Is surviving another 15 years after her incidence of colon cancer, which probably would have killed her then. It was good that it was caught, and it's not futile at the age of 83. You don't have to give up the ghost and say, no, I'm not going to go for any radical intervention. That is unless you're suffering from so many other coexisting medical conditions. You're so debilitated that you can't even undergo surgery if it were to be that you had colon cancer. So I would suggest that you do listen to your doctor, suggesting that you're by no means certain that you have cancer. There are a lot of false positives with this test. But do get checked. Make sure that nothing's going on there. If you absolutely refuse to get a colonoscopy, say you're just completely phobic about it, you don't want to do it, there is an alternative. There are what are called FIT tests, which are immunoassays. One of them I happen to know is called the Cologuard test. It's a test that with some pretty good degree of accuracy, maybe 80% degree of accuracy, can diagnose colon cancer with just a stool sample. And that, short of a colonoscopy, that could give us a clue as to whether it's worth looking up there to see if something is treatable. That could be life-threatening, but if removed, could allow you to prolong your life. Okay? Thanks very much for your call. And here's an item that I'll leave you with. From Science Daily, researchers have discovered the holy grail of how to lose fat while gaining muscle. See, that's the key. When you're dieting, you're on like some of these diet centers tell you to go on a diet, you'll lose 40 pounds in 40 days. But it's very hard to lose that much weight without losing muscle. So you may lose the weight, but you'll end up debilitated. It's very hard to recover muscle, especially past a certain age. So how do you do it? What is the way to lose fat while not only not losing muscle, but while gaining muscle? Here's the key. For the study, 40 young men underwent a month of hard exercise while cutting dietary energy by 40%. So they only ate 60% of what they would normally eat. And they lost a lot of weight. And with hard exercise, they managed to keep their muscle mass. But the key is they had to go on a higher protein diet. Those on a low protein diet, in spite of the fact that they lost the weight, they lost a lot of muscle. And so higher protein, lower calorie diets coupled with strenuous exercise can help you achieve your dietary goals. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. Please visit drhoffman.com because this program is just the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. Lots more content there that you'll enjoy and will improve your health. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Have a great weekend.